Well, looking at the system, I would suggest that if Borough can beat QPR at 2 o'clock on Sunday and West Brom thrash Hull City, all will be well with the world, Rob. We don't have to worry because Stoke City have actually done for Barnsley and, we'll be back out of the relegation zone. It's Fly Me to the Moon with Rob Nichols in association with Farmer Nord. Rob, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's very straight. I think Neil Warnock says about every game, every week, things are going to go up and down, and it looked really, really, it looked real, looked real, real problems, didn't it, when we conceded that last minute goal at Hull. I mean, obviously, not only did we lose, but Hull won, and it was their first positive result of the year, wasn't it? I think pretty much.
Well, since New Year's
So.
Day.
But for once, results have started to go in our favour, which hasn't happened at all in the last couple of games. Starting last night, wasn't it, with Charlton, and then there's,
Millwall
and then as you
winning
said,
1-0.
yes, but we do actually, we obviously have to go to Millwall in midweek, and they look quite handy. But you're right, other games have gone well for us today, and also, even though we've gone third from bottom. We're not really
It's
third from bottom because
very,
sadly,
very, very tight. I mean,
well, I was going to
actually.
say, Alex, we're not really third from bottom because sadly, Wigan are actually bottom of the league,
But they would not
effectively.
be relegated. Isn't there a proviso that even though they've had 12 points actually docked, they would not go down this season because that would have been seen as unseemly? That's the way I understood it, that
No, I don't think
actually
so.
the 12 points actually comes into effect from next season, whichever
No,
division they happen to be in.
I think what Alex, it's the 12 points comes into effect next season if they're not in the bottom three. If they're, sorry,
Yeah.
if they are in the bottom three anyway. See what I mean? I think that's the way it
Okay.
goes.
Okay.
So any it's beginning to look, sadly, as if they've been as if there's a massive scandal happening there about what's happened to Wigan, which is really sad, but it looks like they've been prey
They've
to
eaten too many
a real
pies,
problem.
Rob. They've eaten too
Yeah.
many pies without actually having the pie
But
contents to actually work through that. Those
anyway,
Wigan pies.
the thing is that, as you quite rightly said, suddenly, the ball's thrown back into our court in that we win tomorrow and things we bounce well up the table as we would
Well,
have done with a Hull victory.
47 points takes us actually ahead of Stoke City, currently in 18th position. Wigan have 50. Okay, if they lose 12, although I think they that I'm still not sure whether that comes into effect this season or next season. But anyway, QPR on 50 as well. Sheffield Wednesday and Reading both on 52. That's up to 13th place, arguably. And then of course you've got that little clutch, which include Borough on 44 points, Hull City on 45, Huddersfield on 46. Charlton on 46, and of course Stoke City also on 46. It's very tempting to actually use the line squeaky bum time, but it was featured in FMTTM, the magazine. And it's great to see that there is a magazine, which I'm holding up now. Yes, obviously it's audio. Issue 605 versus Queen's Park Rangers, with of course Neil Warnock. Is it the first time he's ever been on the cover of Fly Me to the Moon? I would have thought possibly yes, actually.
I
Was he there
think
with
so.
Notts County?
Do you know, we'd have to look back because, as you
Yeah.
say, we've come against him so many times. Yeah,
Exactly.
going right back to Notts County in the playoffs where he defeated us. He actually mentioned that at the press conference this morning, so he remembered that, and that was Colin Todsborough, wasn't it, getting beaten by Notts County? So,
Yes. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. Lots of great features, as we'd expect, including Mark Benton, who is one of our celebrity fans, or one of Borough's celebrity fans, who started slightly late in the line, it
he
would
did.
seem, from the point of view of how he got it. You've got to say, lovely to see bartering in place. He did the voiceovers, but he basically did it in exchange for season tickets. It's very
He did.
nice.
That's
Very nice.
right.
That sort of thing. People who were listening to a feature we did yesterday with actor Jonathan Lindsley from Last of the Summer Wine might have actually heard my reading of the latest Jimmy, or one of Jimmy Flynn's poems, which was Coronavirus COVID-19, which again I thought was a really interesting thing. But of course, he's been very busy. I mean, he's almost taken on board the mantle of Kadeem in terms of most prolific poet. And unlike Kadeem, we can actually sometimes understand what Jimmy's on about. Sorry, Kadeem. No, honestly. Kadeem's stuff sometimes was so deep, it was difficult to kind of just unpick the meaning and manifestations that was in there. But I did feel very renewed when I used to watch it. Football's Revolving Door is his other number. And I don't know, maybe we should we try a joint reading? Do you have a copy to hand?
I'll have to go and get our
first official Zoomer thing. Well, I'll tell you what, whilst you go and sort of that, I will talk and fill momentarily.
Go on, then.
So yeah, we'll work our way through that process, reminding people that they're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to the magazine, Fly Me to the Moon, of course, issue 605, Queen's Park Rangers. And you can also hear us, of course, on Red Army Radio, which is redarmy.tv. Click listen on that, and you get other bits and pieces coming through together as well. And I'd like to thank the sponsor, Farm & Ord, as well, for assisting with respect to podcasts from that point of view. We have done specials before in times past. Yeah. We did a special, of course, from, we were connecting with one of our correspondents over in, notice the way I put that in there, one of our correspondents for Stuart. I've already promoted to one of our correspondents, but he did very well. And it'd be fascinating to find out what his views were on the whole City game, because we haven't had a chance
Stuart
to
talk Flaherty. About that. It was, wasn't it? And he's a US soccer coach at Dartmouth, wasn't it? I think it was.
Indeed, Dartmouth College.
But he's from Middlesbrough, he's a Borough fan, and he uses... different coaching tools, doesn't he, to analyse matches. So, yeah, it would be interesting to hear what he had to say.
Well worth accessing. I mean, there was that moment where, say, with One All, I mean, I have another little challenge going with one of my graduate students now, actually, Ben Lewis. And remember the old predictor things that we do? We adopted this predictor challenge where, you know, 2 points for a right result, but 3 points for an absolutely spot-on result. And, of course, I'd predicted One All for Borough versus Hull. He'd gone 2-1 for Hull City against Borough. And up until the last moment, you know, he's now leading me 5-4.
Right. No, it was a sickening blow to take. It really was, watching that match. We were the better team, but it was a lot of nerves. The football was very scrappy, but just didn't see that coming right at the end. It was a real blow, but... You know, the results have gone a little bit better, as we said this weekend, and hopefully that will give the squad some impetus to really go at QPR tomorrow. Well, I mean, the question is, Alex, in all of this, there's probably not that many clubs, but there are a cluster of clubs in the middle of that division who have got nothing much to play for and are losing players. Mm-hmm. And you look at some of those teams, they're getting hammered week after week or getting beaten, you know, getting turned over. And you are lucky if you play that team. So it's not quite, the restarted season is not quite as fair in some respects as others.
And you also have the period that I think statistically very little happens in the first 20 or 30 minutes in most games. Unless, of course, you're Jerry Barton, in which case, obviously, Fleetwood will actually have lots of goals scored against you. But that's another line.
Well, Alex, it was 1-1 after about 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Typical Jerry Barton. He changes everything else. Things could be more challenging. Jerry Barton could be your next Borough manager. No. Shall we go for this Jimmy Flynn football's role?
Okay.
And we'll take two lines. If I start through the whole thing, then you can pick up. So we'll go from there. Our first ever Zoom read through this. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So Football's Revolving Door by Jimmy Flynn. How sad that predictably Jonathan Woodgate has come to be a football management casualty.
Like so many former top players before, for him, management was a revolving door.
Before finding his management feat, he has paid the penalty for an ignominious defeat.
And had the rug pulled from under his feet, one game was a microcosm of all that went wrong.
And proved to be his swan song after a game that saw Borough drifting without aim.
He was the one to shoulder the blame as Borough slumped to an incomprehensible all-time low.
The manager was the one to go. Jonathan is not alone on that score.
Many football luminaries have gone before. Robson, Southgate, Strachan, Pulis, Karanka, Monk, Mowbray.
Our former Riverside bosses whose hopes washed away to an illustrious football management, Magnificent Seven.
For whom the Riverside changed to heaven, to hell from heaven. Is it me still? Now with the relegation clock counting down.
A man whose motto is win at all cost and never accepts that a cause is lost.
Will he help Borough's stumbling stars sort out their feet and get them playing sure-footedly relegation to beat?
Like some soccer Neptune, will he turn the riverside tide and bring an end to Borough's inexorable downward slide?
Or like those ill-fated managers before, will he exit the riverside through the dreaded revolving door?
Slight VAR problem in mid-flight for both of us, really, Rob. But I think overall, you know, given it's live, working through that process, we should be very good. You know, I won't have a round of applause because obviously that would be just, you know, too self-indulgent.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, precisely. So, as I say, this is the first physical copy of Fly Me to the Moon that I've actually held since March and Swansea City, of course. And got to say it, cracking piece from that point of view. We've already mentioned the celebrity interview that you've put together. But let's also mention, hopefully somebody who may just join us, etc., in the not-too-distant future. It's Bernie Slavin, who's actually got, still until the 11th of July, so still time to actually order the pre-sale, a whole range of wonderful images that have been put together in terms of the title Slavin Snaps.
Yes, he, during his lockdown, he must have been sent to dispatch to clear out the loft, and he came across lots of photos, didn't he, and lots of bits of paper that were interesting things. Things like his various times he was fined by managers at Borough for one thing or another, and contracts and all sorts. It looks as if the book that he's putting together is going to be A4 size, so that should be pretty good for the photos, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly the image that we've actually got that I'm looking at now, he looks as though he's modelling for a mail catalogue in the 1980s.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's the sort of post-lockdown look that you'd actually have from that point of view. Flowing locks, traditional body, and of course, a pose that was so resonant of so many things, basically with the jacket just casually held over the shoulder. I'm sure it's the pose that you've adopted yourself many a time, Rob, to actually sort of just operate in other manners as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Warnock, says Jude, age 10, as told to Neil Weldon. I mean, let's hope that he's still thanking Mrs. Warnock in a few times. But, I mean, there is a little line here which I wasn't aware of. Do you know that he has been, that's Neil Warnock, in this area before, when he played for Hartlepool in 1971 to 1973. That was so long ago, Parmos had not yet been invented, and it was even before Jackie Charlton came to Borough.
I know, that's amazing, isn't it? And I think he started out as a manager at Scarborough in the late 80s. Mm. I think that's correct. So that's just to the south of this region, isn't it? So he knows area.
Certainly. It doesn't feel quite like yesterday, but more yesteryear. But interesting, that kind of connection, and we see where things go. And I see you've even got Kazimierz Dana, the Polish striker, who's obviously involved with the end of Sir Ralph Ramsey's England career, who, of course, was featured with respect to a feature by the Rochdale Smoggy with foreign players and old comrades from the former Iron Curtain, or formerly performing behind the Iron Curtain, Bosko Jankovic, I believe. Is it Bosko Jankovic we've actually got there? Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. There was a period, wasn't there, before the Iron Curtain fell, that Eastern European players were allowed to come and play in the West when they got over the age of 28, I think, something like that. And there were two players that came over here, and Bosko was a big success at Middlesbrough, big goal-scoring success.
And Kazimierz Dana was very good at Man City, actually, in an era.
He was like Bobby Charlton of Polish football, wasn't he? Yeah. He had over 100 caps. Yeah. He was the Polish captain. Yeah.
Mike Kelly, a feature that I think really sort of is worth looking at. English football in the red. And he does some really good analysis of the English Football League's latest accounts, ostensibly presenting a reassuring picture. But the amount the league pays to its member clubs fell by 5% as the number of people employed by the EFL increased by 25%. And the EFL's directors paid themselves 15% more than they did the year before. This, of course, all pre-lockdown, that is going to have an impact, I would have thought. And certainly, I'm not sure whether clubs have been able to monetize online material. It seems to have gone very quiet on that. But it does certainly leave question marks over, and you've already mentioned Wigan, other sides as they head through next season.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of problems for certainly the lower division clubs. I think, I don't know, we may well have mentioned it on the last, we mentioned it before, I think, that a lot of clubs, a lot of lower division clubs are worried about the season starting before they're able to allow fans in. because the Premier League, it's not really, it's neither here nor there to a certain extent. It's their television rights, but partly because of the deal that was done by the EFL to Sky, it's a long term deal. It's now looking quite like quite a weak deal. And I think there's somewhere in this article where Mike Kelly talks about one of the other deals they did, that it's a tiny a pittance of a amount of money that's been brought in from some of the extra sales that you're talking about, which is really going to weaken clubs. What was it? Oh, it was a video subscription service has yielded just £76,000 per club for last season. So that's £76,000. That's terrible, isn't it? But you know,
that wouldn't even buy Lionel Messi's boot cleaning for a week. By the way, Lionel, just a sort of general thing, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you'd be welcome at Middlesbrough Football Club, because I gather you're a bit unhappy with Barcelona. I thought I'd put that out there, Rob. You know, right, Lionel Messi's unhappy with Barcelona. Maybe you might like to join, you know, Middlesbrough. It's a way for I'm sure we can accommodate Messi in some way. Returning again to Mike Kelly, interesting that he certainly mentions QPR, of course, the focus of this particular thing. The club's position is one of the worst serial overspenders. They might counter that QPR's £38 million loss in 17-18 season was partly because of a £20 million fine imposed by the EFL under the league's previous financial fair play rules. But then QPR's accounts for 2018-2019 show the club broke even after earning net profits of £2.5 million on player trading. And although it may have been painful, the EFL may have done the club a favour by forcing it to live within its means. I seem to recall at one stage, QPR were very much being billed as, you know, another Blackburn, another, it's not Man City, but certainly a club which had millionaire investors going in and all was going to be well. It was going to be a startlingly brave new dawn, and look out, Chelsea. QPR were actually on their coattails. Didn't quite work out like that.
No, they broke the financial fair play rules, and they've paid for it ever since. They've spent big to get promoted, and heavily invested in wages and whatever. And you look at the amount of managers they've had. I suppose everyone's the same, but they've had a lot of managers in the last few seasons. And
Warnock, for instance.
He was indeed. And now that they're a club stuffed with young players, but a lot of loan players. So the players like Jordan Hugill is going to come back to Middlesbrough tomorrow. And he's had a really successful season. He's really sort of reinvented himself.
Well, he's himself. Scoring, isn't he? He's scoring goals, he's which scoring, is something.
And he puts himself about. Yeah. I know, and but they won't have him next season, and let's hope he doesn't make a scoring return to the Riverside.
Well, it has happened before. Now, I was particularly interested, given that it took place some 34 years ago, with the opening line to tell the kids today about the days when the Ayresome Park gates were padlocked and the Borough players were training down the park, and they would not believe you. No, because they say that's where Rob's living.
Yeah.
Different line, different part of the whole thing. But
that was fascinating. There was a guy called, I was tipped off, a guy called Gordon Bates, who worked for Middlesbrough Council. We've often heard the story from the perspective of Steve Gibson, of course, and the Colin Henderson's doing interviews. He was the chairman afterwards. But Gordon was actually the man from the council who had to bring up different clubs and ask, could we play at your ground? Because as he said to me on the phone, it is quite amazing to think now, when games can be rearranged a matter of days before, that the Football League said, if you do not play Port Vale on that day, that first Saturday, then you are kicked out of the league. So our ground was locked. He had to ring up lots of different clubs in a big arc around and ask, can we play? And yeah, he mentions a few of the replies. Port Vale were very interesting. They were a bit unhelpful, weren't they? Port Vale said, yes, you can play at our place, but we want both the games at Vale Park this season. Yeah. So that was. So he said that was a possibility, but you know, that was not the most helpful reply. Yeah.
Nice to see that the Tyne and Wear police, as far as Newcastle were concerned, said they couldn't cover both matches at the same time, Newcastle and Sunderland. So, I did like the line as well in terms of actually getting Financial Times investors or getting investors in.
Yeah.
The advert in the Financial Times, an advert was put in for anyone interested in investing in Middlesbrough. They booked a meeting room at Heathrow. One of the group described it as a cross between a blind date and a fool's errand. They went down there to see who turned up, and the only one who turned up was Henry Moscovitz.
Yeah.
The past. Henry Moscovitz, who was actually crucial to the whole aspect. And of course, the Steve Gibson era begins and works through that. Well worth reading and accessing that in the full copy of the Fly Me to the Moon package. So, QPR.
Yeah.
It should be winnable. Despite, I mean, Warnock obviously has history with QPR.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. A draw, not the end of the world. Defeat, problematic, difficult. Yes. But really, you need the 3 points at this particular stage to really again lift yourself up. Otherwise, it's like teasing with the relegation zone, just dipping a toe in the water and saying, shall we not? We do not want to end up like Sunderland.
No, and obviously the last home league game was for, as we know, Jonathan Woodgate, a 3-0 defeat, and we've had a run at home that's as poor as Hull's, really. We haven't won this year, have we? I don't think at the Riverside. We really need to win for that as well, for the confidence to grow. But obviously, it's different. There's no fans there, so it's a different kind of environment completely. But it is an important game. I don't think Neil Warnock was asked today at the press conference whether it was was a vital, a must win, and he said, well, no, I don't think we get into that. And as you've just said there, Alex, you know that I think you do have to hold your nerve, don't you? But a win would be terrifically helpful. But it's amazing how it looked going into this game as if we were really on a hide into nothing. We had to play after everybody else, and we could have been chasing. We could have been a long way behind. But there's a few results today that a few clubs have been really sort of shocked, haven't they, about some of the results that have been real knockbacks. So let's get that win, hopefully get that 3 points. But then, again, saying keep your nerve, because in mid you've got two games a week. Things could just go up and down and up and down.
Interested to see. No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's interesting, Neil Warnock, of course. How's he? I mean, I still remember the days when he used to come out and said to Tony Pulis' press conference, he always stands. Neil Warnock presumably sits down. What's the sort of general feeling there? Because this is his third press conference he'd have actually given, I would have thought.
Well, obviously, it's a completely different environment. It's on Zoom, like this.
Yes, so you can't see. Of course.
Tony Pulis couldn't have stood, could he? No, he's very sort of, he's very chatty. He's very amiable. He's very candid with what he says. Or he says, I can't tell you that, or whatever. He's here for a job. He keeps saying that. He speaks to Steve Gibson regularly, but he said he's never even discussed wages yet. He said he'd known Steve Gibson for years. He's dropped hints before that. He said he came close to joining Middlesbrough on more than one occasion. I wonder if he could have been
mooted for when Ito Karanka actually got the post. I just thought,
isn't it? Yeah. But he said he just wanted to do it as a favour for Steve Gibson to try and pay back and help out. He's mentioned two things, hasn't he, recently? One was that there's no shouters in the team, and he said, but what he doesn't mean by that is he means that there's people that inspire in different ways as captains, like George Friend does. Mm. But he does literally mean that neither him or Howson are naturally blokes who shout and shout. And he wants a bit more of that, and he's been working with his goalkeeper, in fact, to shout. Which is typical for him. He's only played for three games.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, because obviously he's a mixed line at this particular stage. Who knows? Maybe Ainsley Pearce might emerge again, but we'll just have to.
Well, Ainsley Pearce does shout. Definitely shouts.
Exactly.
And
just a final nod for the Jonathan Woodgate era, I think, from your editorial. Yeah. You do think he's going to be back one day in management, and that Christmas time Manager of the Month award will not be a flash in the pan. It was, I said at the time, the curse of the Manager of the Month award. It was all going swimmingly, and then injuries.
It's amazing
and so on.
Isn't it amazing how quickly things can turn and fall apart? It's
a bit like life, Rob.
It is like life, yeah.
We shall continue regardless from that point of view on this. Well, it's July the 4th when we're actually recording this.
Oh, and Alex, can we add just something I just found out about this afternoon, that the normal shirt sponsors, Bet365, have stood aside tomorrow to allow MFC Foundation to be the shirt sponsors. Excellent. And all the money, they're going to raffle the shirts afterwards, and all the money will go to the foundation for all the different good causes that they've been working hard all the way through lockdown, giving people hot meals and ringing up elderly people and vulnerable people and looking after a lot of people in the community. So I don't think I've ever heard of that before, that the shirt sponsor says that we will step down for you to do that. It's brilliant, isn't it?
That's good. It's good. Incidentally, are the players of the championship taking the knee, by the way? Is that a standard line, or is that just the premiership?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a bit of that's right. As we mentioned, you can access us through southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, or indeed go to redarmy.tv and then click listen at the top of the page, which is good stuff from that point of view. The next edition, of course, is issue 606. I'm just sort of thinking, actually, Rob, I know it's looking ahead and you're talking 1, 2, 3, probably 3 seasons before we get up to 666. Would that be a calling? No. It's just a line there. 606, of course.
It'll be more than 3 seasons, actually.
Yes, yeah. I think extra bonus. 606, perhaps a little homage to Danny Baker and David Mellors hosting that on another radio station. I think it's run by the BBC, I think, or Five Live.
Do you know? I think it might be. Do you know what I've worked out this week? I've worked out that we are now the most prolific fanzine. A number of issues that of any fanzine that's still going, because the two fanzines that overtook us have sadly had to call it a day in the last year or so. So I believe we're the most prolific out of all the fanzines that are left.
Congratulations on that, Rob. We will continue going. As I say, it's great to do these podcasts and put things together. We will continue to do those, obviously. But in terms of actually having the physicality, the fanzine in place, it still adds something. Although, sadly, at present, you won't be able to purchase the fanzine outside of the ground because you won't be able to get to the ground. So how can people actually get hold of copies of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine for issue 605, which will be probably a back issue by the time we work through this, other back issue they might want, or indeed the upcoming 18th of July game against Cardiff City?
Yes, if you go to fmttm.com website, then I've got like a fanzine shop, and I've got I've got all the details where you can click on to buy the individual fanzines and pay through PayPal. Or I've got another website now called fmttmborough.com, and that's that. Have a look, and there's details on there as well. But yeah, they're still available to buy through PayPal. People can order them in advance, and then when they order them in advance, I know how many to print, because it works that way now.
It's a balance. Just realizing that home to Cardiff City might be a Neil Warnock interest from that point of view, but we've got other games to come through from that point of view. We will be back certainly ahead of the Cardiff City game, and probably doing various other bits and pieces as well. Last line, of course, we have to wrap up with is those classic 7 words. Shall we do them together? 1, 2, 3. Come on, Borough.
And up the Borough.